So where are we up to? 1 Samuel chapter 28. 1 Samuel 28. It's an unusual passage. Some unusual things going on, but what's the bigger picture? What's going on? So we know that David's been on the run. It's a long time to be on the run, many, many years. He's on the run. Saul is seeking him. He's kind of defected from a place of safety to go and work for the Philistines. He's a hired hitman, hired hand, and his soldiers are there. So now that's what they covered last week. So he's fleed to the Philistines. He works for them. And then we pick up the story on the heading in some Bibles is Saul and the medium of Endor. So that's just what an interesting heading. And when I think of Endor, it just makes me think of Star Wars. I think that's one of the planets in Star Wars, isn't it? Saul and the medium of Endor. What on earth can we learn from this? Well, that's the heading, is the connection with God. And this passage really, for me, just shows the tragedy of Saul's life that's brought him to this place where he's lost that connection with God. He has no relationship with God, and he has to go to a medium to try and hear God's wisdom in a situation. So let's just go through it, and I'll pause at different sections just to unpack it as we go through. Connection with God. 28 verse 1. In those days, the Philistines gathered their forces for war to fight against Israel. And Achish said to David, "Understand that you and your men are to go out with me in the army." David said to Achish, "Very well, you shall know what your servant can do." And Achish said to David, "Very well, I will make you my bodyguard for life." That's interesting. So David is in a position of incredible authority. He could just kill the guy, couldn't he, if you think about it? But of course, we know from the previous chapter that David's kind of been pretending to fight for him. But of course, David has not attacked his own. We know that, because if he did, they would never make him king, would he? So he's there for safety. This guy has incredible trust in him. Pick up the verse again, verse 3. Now Samuel had died, and all Israel had mourned for him and buried him in Ramah, his own city. And Saul had put the mediums and the necromancers out of the land. The Philistines assembled and came and encamped at Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel, and they encamped at Gilboa. When Saul saw that the army of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, neither by dreams, or by Urim, or by the prophets. Then Saul said to his servants, "Seek out for me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her." And his servants said to him, "Behold, there is a medium at Endor." Situation. Massive army, even geographically, the Philistines have come far. They've got gathered all their forces for war, all five of their kind of king state situations. Samuel has died. Saul sees the army. He is afraid. What does he do? His connection with God is severed. God's not listening. God's not answering him. He's afraid. That's a hallmark of his life. He's riddled with fear. Fear of man. That's a dangerous thing to have, isn't it? Fear of man. I sometimes joke and say I'm a recovering people pleaser. We've got to be so careful in our lives not to please people, isn't it? We need to please God. I love that Dallas Willard quote, isn't it? "I do not perform. I stand before God. He is an audience of one. This is where I live." And that's when it happens. It's that living. Do we live in that place? Not just on a Sunday or in home group. Do I dwell in that place? Is that what I live? This is where I live. Is my life to please him? Am I a God pleaser or a people pleaser? And we see Saul, the tragedy, the perfect person, the ideal candidate. He's fallen from grace. He's riddled with fear. He's intimidated. David, you know, who could have been a son to him, who could have been that fantastic godly help to him, which he was with David and Goliath, is working for the other side. The spiritual kind of Samuel is no longer there. He's on his own. And desperate times sometimes call for desperate measures. Desperate times call for desperate measures. In this case, he's doing something that's very bad. To his credit, it does say that Saul had put the mediums and necromancers out of the land, and that's in accordance with Numbers and Levitical law. You know, they're not to be in the land. You know, This is God. You're holy. You're set apart for God. We don't do that stuff. And I think on that note, you know, as we go into this story, it's so important, especially to speak to our kids and our grandkids, to stay away from stuff of the occult, to stay away from Ouija boards and seances. And, you know, I always get them mixed up, astrology and astronomy, whatever the star sign is. And if people ever ask me what my star sign is, I just tell them I'm Allegro. You know, that's the musical term, isn't it, for going fast all the time. Because, but jokes aside, we don't need to touch wood. You know, even many Christians, we do it, don't we? Because that's our culture, but we mustn't do it. That's not us. We don't need to touch wood. We're not inshallah. It's not like God willing. No. God is sovereign. God is sovereign, and it's making sure that we posture ourselves that way. And, you know, we know to stay away from that stuff, but we don't need to be fearful, but it is real. There is a spiritual warfare out there. There is a battle out there. You know, it's not all rainbows and Christmas trees. There is a real element to this stuff. A lot of it is fake, and we'll see that. And even by the lady's response, when God allows this thing to happen, you can see that she's obviously never really done this before because she's scared witness. And there is power in these things. And I don't believe that people can summon the dead. I think if there's anything like that does happen, it's probably demons probably pretending. Probably because God is sovereign, isn't it? God oversees all the souls. It's not one and the other. God is sovereign. All souls have gone to a place before the judgment. So I don't believe that people can contact the dead, but people can impersonate. And of course, demons have been around for a while. They do see patterns. They can say things. And I'm sure many of us know people that sometimes do those things, see those things. But isn't it amazing that we've got access to Lord God Almighty, who can give you wisdom, who can give you knowledge, who you can have a connection with, a reality connection with, just like David, isn't it? What was David known as? David was known as a man after Saul's own heart. God's heart. What did I say? Saul's own heart. Yeah, that's wrong way around. That is an error. Please note that on the recording. I'm speaking heresy. God's own heart. A man after God's own heart. Let's continue. So he wants to seek out. So Saul disguised himself, verse 8, put other garments and went, and he and the two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, divine for me by a spirit, and bring up for me whomever I shall name to you. The woman said to him, surely you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off the mediums and the necromancers from the land. Why then are you laying a trap for my life to bring about my death? But Saul swore to her by the Lord, and that as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. Then the woman said, whom shall I bring up for you? He said, bring up Samuel for me. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman said to Saul, why have you deceived me? You are Saul. The king said to her, do not be afraid. What do you see? And the woman said to Saul, I see a God coming up out of the earth. He said to her, what is his appearance? And she said, an old man is coming up, and he is wrapped in a robe. And Saul knew that it was Samuel, and he bowed with his face to the ground and paid homage. Then Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? Saul answered, I am in great distress, for the Philistines are warring against me, and God has turned away from me and answers me no more, either by prophets or by dreams. Therefore I have summoned you to tell me what I shall do. And Samuel said, why then do you ask me, since the Lord has turned from you and become your enemy? The Lord has done to you as he spoke by me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David. Because you did not obey the voice of the Lord, did not carry out his fierce wrath against Amalek, therefore the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will give Israel also with you into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons shall be with me. The Lord will give the army of Israel also into the hand of the Philistines. Then Saul fell at once full length to the ground, filled with fear because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten nothing all day and all night. And the woman came to Saul, and when she saw that he was terrified, she said to him, behold, your servant has obeyed you. I have taken my life in my hand, and have it listened to what you said to me. Now therefore, you also obey your servant. Let me set a morsel of bread before you and eat, that you may have strength when you go on your way. He refused and said, I will not eat. But his servants, together with the woman, urged him, and he listened to their words. So he arose from the earth and sat on the bed. Now the woman had a fattened calf in the house, and she quickly killed it. And she took flour and kneaded it and baked unleavened bread on it. And she put it before Saul and his servants. And they ate and they rose and they went away that night. Wow, a lot of drama. It's very sad, isn't it? It's a heartbreaking end of the road story, isn't it? And it's just a matter now. You know, it says tomorrow, you know, you and your sons are going to be with me. That pronouncement is going to come to pass. It's a tragic story. Riddled with fear, riddled with insecurity, fear of lack of legacy. One of the things that he shouts out in his altercations with David, isn't it, is, you know, please don't cut off my family from you. And sadly, the punishment, that consequence, even one of the curses that Saul put a curse on his own son, remember, back with the honey and cursed him, even though he'd been instrumental in this victory, he cursed him that he would die. And that prophecy is going to come to pass too very soon. Connection with God. It's, what do we take from this? Obviously, stay away from all things that are not of God. But I think for me, the thing that really, that simplicity of how is my relationship with God? How is my prayer life? How is our prayer life as a church? Our connection with God. See, we all make mistakes. David made many mistakes. But what did David do when he made a mistake? He turned to God. Saul didn't turn to God. Saul went in his own strength. He went in his own way. How is your relationship with God? How is my relationship with God? How is my prayer life? One of the things that we did in the first week was we looked at different ways that people connect with God. And it's not prescriptive. But some people connect through nature. Some people connect through study. Some people connect primarily through worship. Some people, when they're around the scriptures with others, they come alive. Some people just love to be on their own reading big books. And sometimes we can come under that pressure to connect with God like other people. You know, and you can feel bad because you don't get up at 5 o'clock to pray for an hour and you try to go through that thing. And that's not faith, is it? That's religion, isn't it? It's that condemnation. See, God brings conviction. The devil brings condemnation. And there's nothing worse, is it, as a young Christian, of thinking, I'm not good enough. I'm not sure if you've ever felt that in your journey. I'm not good enough. I'm not like that person. I don't know the Bible as well as them, or I'm not as expressive in my worship. But actually, God has created you unique. God has created you for a walk with Jesus. And we don't need to look to the left or to the right. We need to look to him. We need to look to the cross. See, what should have Saul done? He did seek God, but of course, it's a long time. God has removed himself. But that reminded me of what Jesus says. You know, do not worry about what you say when they take you into the synagogues, when they persecute you. It's one of those passages that's not a good sell for Christianity. It talks about we're going to get opposition. If they call the master of the house the devil, guess what? You're going to get opposition. There is opposition. And if we read through that chapter, you could think this is a bit depressing. Who would want to be a Christian? You're going to get beaten. You're going to get accused. You're going to get accused of all sorts of things. They're going to bring you to... Why would you do it? Why? Why did Jesus do it? For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. What was the joy set before him? Setting people free. What was his mandate? For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to heal, to preach good news, to set the captives, to set people at liberty. Guess what? Your mandate is the same. Your mandate is the same. I was giving the leadership team some feedback on some of the stuff that some of the talks in Dubai. What a privilege. I had the privilege of going to Dubai for a Genesis Collective time, and it was so good just to lift my eyes to see what God is doing in the world. And it's amazing how God provides, and I could have gone there without spending a penny. It's amazing how God is so good. And just to meet these people that that are doing incredible things for God, sometimes prepared to lay their lives down. People on the Silk Road. The ministry is called Live Dead. And they are literally going to the stands. They're following the Silk Road. There's 440 million people along the Kyrgyzstans, the Afghanistans, all the stands that don't know Jesus. And they're raising up teams to go and live dead so that people can hear about Jesus, because there's so few Christians there. If somebody wanted to find out about Jesus, they would not find someone. Now, I'm not sure if God is calling you there. I can put you in touch with them. That's a big thing, isn't it? But God has called you to do that here. You know, one of the phrases, there was this guy, George, his name, he heads up a church in South Africa. He was so successful in business, he'd managed to wangle his hours that he was working 1 hour a week. That's quite a successful businessman. So he was in the software, and effectively he became like the salesperson for this particular type of software. And he said, well, literally, I would install the software, or if there was a problem. And he said the rest of the week, Christy was like this, he was playing tennis. Ooh, you know. But of course, that doesn't fulfill, is it? And we have this fake illusion that when the mortgage is paid, once the pension is there, we can fully come alive. Well, actually, no. Fully alive is when you fully die and you live for something bigger than yourself. And God called him. And in his message, he talked about when the colonial UK sent out, you know, the shoe company decided, you know, the two shoe companies, they sent out kind of sales reps into Africa to see, is there a market? Is there space for us to sell more shoes? And apparently one went to the West Coast or something. And they got there and they said, the report back was, no one has got shoes. They're all barefoot. Don't bother trying to sell shoes here. But then another salesperson went to a different part of Africa and they said, nobody's wearing shoes. Send as many as you can. See, perspective. How do we see things? How do you see things? And the power in that message that he shared was, there's a world out there that is barefoot. When we think about the gospel, there's a world out there. People in your street, people in my family, people in your street, people in your family, they don't have the shoes of the gospel. They haven't experienced the life-changing power. And how are they going to know unless we tell them? And there is that, you know, use words if necessary. And there's a truth in that. But I think sometimes we hide behind that. Sometimes we just think, I just live that Christian life. And I think that's I think to just take it to the end, I don't think that's right, because the Bible is very clear. How will they hear unless somebody tells them how good it is at the feet of him who brings good news? Guys, guess what? We are here to teach, preach. That's what Jesus' mandate was. Don't have to do it like me. You don't have to be a big mouth like me or chopsy like me. You get to do it in your way. But God has called you to have a connection with God for yourself. And out of that connection, it's God wants you to help others into that connection too. Recently met a guy called Dylan, and he came over from South Africa as a young man. He was a teacher. He was doing business there. He came over with £500, gets the first job he can, which is double glazing salesman. And he says, I don't even know what that was, because they don't really have a lot of double glazing in South Africa. And he describes how he does kind of this work in a warehouse, and he's doing this double glazing salesman. He's actually a kingdom businessman now. He's got a property development firm, and they tithe, and it's wonderful to hear the stories. And he talks about he's never been sacked for sharing the gospel. And he said he did get into trouble once. He did get pulled aside because he was doing the door-to-door sales. And he knocked on the door, and this lady only had a week left to live. And he just thought, you know what? He was with an atheist. He said, you know what? She's got a week left to live. What have I got to lose? And he told her about Jesus and prayed for her there. But that inspired me, isn't it? What opportunities do we have? And out of the tragedy of this story, out of the tragedy of the end of Saul's life, let's be people that are more like David. Let's seek him. Let's be people that come to our knees and humble ourselves and posture ourselves before him. And let's be bold to whatever God has called us. God has got you exactly where you are with the people that are around you for a reason. You've been entrusted with that. God has invited us on this most incredible adventure of raising disciples to partner with Him. Isn't that amazing? Oh, amen. Thank you for the simple message. Lord, as we see how wrong it goes for Saul, Lord, we don't want to get into life in that place. We want to be people that regularly hear your voice as individuals, as a church. Lord, would your voice be the loudest? Would your word be on our mouths, in our hearts, your ways? And I just pray for each one of us. Steve, there is a world out there that is barefoot. Lord, and you've placed us here. We're not in the stands. We're in Lisvain or wherever God's called us in our place of work to. You've put us there for a reason. And Lord, would you just open our ears as well to be people that step out, that are prepared to go through the difficulty just like you were for your glory. Would you use us? Would you bless us? Would you minister through us as you do? We want to see other people set free. Thank you for setting us free. And as we come to a time of communion and we think about that freedom that you brought for us, thank you that the cost that you paid. And Lord, we just want to take some time just to think on that right now. The cost that you paid. We want to just remember, and we want to, as that opening song, you know, to know the power of your sufferings and to be resurrected with you, to knowing you is the greatest thing. So we just come, would you just quiet our hearts, move among us now as we just remember. Lord, we want you to be the greatest thing in our lives. We want to put you back into the rightful place. If I've shoved you out, if other things have become gods in my life, if money or family or whatever, if anything has got into that place or first place, Lord, I just want to say I'm sorry. Lord, I want to have that connection with you. I want to have that heart of David, someone who's got a heart after you. We want to hear your voice. Lord, just minister to us now in Jesus' name. Amen.